The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, you may have felt like you're in the wilderness this morning as you wandered in through the doors. Now, we've been wandering in the wilderness for a while. As you came through the door, you would have seen the red Passover. As you came through the Red Sea and then past the Ten Commandments. That's the journey I've taken the people of Israel on over the last short period of time. My name's Moses. Some of you have met me before, some of you haven't. But one of the things that hit me when I was bringing these people just in this short time through the wilderness was complaints. Complaints. Grumbling and complaining. Far out. All they do is complain. I mean, you can read about it in your own Bible if you like when you get time, Numbers 11 onwards. Complaining, complaining, complaining. We want to go back to Egypt. They got no memory of what Egypt held except the good things. They forgot about the slavery. At least we had water and food there, but they forgot about the slavery. They forgot how God had provided miraculously for them. They forgot about the Red Sea experience where it just opened up and they went through. They forgot about that. They forgot how His presence was so real, the presence of God. During the day, the cloud, not just a cloud, pretty fluffy thing, but it was a cloud that gave us protection from the sun in the hot wilderness. Some of you know the heat that comes out of the desert. But it represented God's presence to us. And during the night, we had the pillar of fire, not just for light, but also for warmth. And it represented the presence of God again to us. But no, they grumble. Instead of being thankful for all that God had provided, all He had done, they grumble. Started to get to me. They were out in the middle of the desert, they wanted water. I spoke to God about it and He says, hit the rock. Just hit the rock. And so I hit the rock with the staff of God. Bang, water pours out. They forget these miracles. Food, what are we going to eat out here? God provides them with manna. You know what manna means? What the heck is this stuff? And they got a bit sick of eating manna burgers and manna kebabs. They complain about it. Good grief. They're not thankful for the food that God did give them. They forgot about it. Forgot about Him. We want meat. All they did was harp on about the food they had in Egypt. We want some meat. God provides them meat. Provided them with quail. Just this wind brought this huge flocks of quail through. Every day they had meat. And guess what they did? They ate it and still grumbled. Still complained. And the trouble is, me, little old Moses who didn't want this job in the first place, I'm the one that's got to keep going to God with their complaints. I'm the one that's got to try and sort this stuff out. It gets a bit wearing at times. Driving me nuts, actually. But in the middle of it all I wanted them to remember was how good, generous, and gracious was this Almighty God of ours. You don't grumble, do you? I'm hearing grumblings at the moment. You don't complain, do you? Of course we do. We grumble and complain. And you know, at times for some of you, life is pretty hard. May not be as hard as someone who's in some of these other places around the world today, but life is hard for some of you. And at times, grumbling and complaining is the way we deal with that. Does it help? No. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help you at all. You know, too often in the midst of the hard times that we all go through, we can forget what God has done. We can forget God and who He is. We can forget His reality. And I just want to encourage you. I've learned this in the wilderness. I've learned this with this 2 to 3 million people I'm trying to lead through. Every day, take some time to thank God. Take some time to thank God for who He is. To thank God for what He's done. To thank God for what He's provided for you. to thank God for the ways that you've seen Him protect you and lead you. Take some time to thank God every day. You know, some of us have a very short-term memory and we forget. It's always important to reflect back and see what God has done in our lives. Thank God for the time He got a hold of your life. Thank God for the people He's brought into your life. Take some time to thank God. Let's do it now. Just close your eyes, please, now. And I want you to reflect on some of the things that right at this moment you are currently grumbling or complaining about. And they may be very real. They probably are very real. Can I just encourage you to pray about this right now? Pray those things out. Just quietly, pray those out. Can I also encourage you to, right now, choose to give thanks to God. It might be for something even related to the grumbling, complaining issues. But can I encourage you to give thanks, just quietly before God now, just some things that you want to give thanks to Him. I mean, your Bible says give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just take some time now just to give thanks to Him for some things in your life. I pray that that would be a standard part of your life, giving thanks to God. You know, as you know, I've got a sister and a brother, Miriam, my sister, older than me. Aaron's 3 years older than me, is my brother. They started complaining. They're my fellow leaders, and they start complaining about me being the leader. They're sort of saying, well, why do you have to be the leader? Why can't we be the leader? And I'm thinking, far out, God chose me. I didn't put my hand up for this job. You remember I had a lot of reasons why I shouldn't be doing it. But God said, no, I want you to do it. They start complaining about me doing this role of leadership. Part of me was thinking, well, you can have it. But you know, God was not real happy with their complaints. He heard their complaining. Team meeting. God calls us to a team meeting. The tent of meeting. Three of you right there now. And God let them know this is not right. This is not how to go. And just to make sure that we got the picture, straight away Miriam, my sister, suddenly got leprosy. Just suddenly leprous. And she's got to spend 7 days outside the camp until it is dealt with. Grumbling and complaining about God-appointed leaders. Not good to do that. Not good to do that. God doesn't like that. Whether it's your bosses, whether it's your government, whether it's your church leaders. And believe me, all of them don't do the right thing all the time, do they? They all muck up. Particularly in each one of our eyes, they're not perfect. We don't grumble or complain about them. Where possible, we dialogue. Always we pray for. Your Bible says, pray for those in authority over you. Pray. Always prayer is there. Always pray. But don't speak against. Always pray, don't speak against. Pray for them even when you think they are making an awful job of this. Let's do that now. Just close your eyes and choose one of those leaders that I've just talked about. Government, bosses, church leaders. Just pray quietly for some of them right now. You may even be a bit radical and thank God for them. Now the sad thing is that as we grumble and complain about leadership that God has appointed over us, we end up fighting with God. And we actually end up giving the old evil one ground. And we don't want to do that. Just encourage you to keep listening to God on that one. Otherwise you might end up hardened, critical, or even leprous. Anyway, our journey continues. And we end up at Kadesh Barnea. Just on the south of Canaan, the promised land. And it was starting to get a bit excited. I tell you what, I was excited. Trying to get these guys there was a bit of a chore. But we're there. We're just on the south of the land. And God says to me, what I want you to do is send some spies in to do a bit of a reconnoiter. Just have a look through the land and see what's going on there. See what the people are like. See what the cities are like. Send some spies there. Actually send 12 of them, one from each of the tribes. Send them in. So he did. Picked out these, and as you can read in your own Bibles, Numbers 13, 14 gives you this story. And so they head off. They go into the land. 40 days they're in there. And they spread out. Go everywhere. And 40 days later they all return. And you know what was interesting? They all came back with the same story. The same facts. They saw the same stuff. No matter where they went, they saw the same thing. This is a land of milk and honey. This promised land is an awesome land. It's fertile. Much fruit. Couple of them bought these bunch of grapes. They had to carry it on a pole between them. Huge fruit. Very good ground in there. Not all of it, but a lot of it is fertile ground. It's fantastic. But they all said, the trouble is, there's some problems. The people there, some of the people are giants. They're huge. They're powerful. And the cities are all fortified. All the spies saw the same thing. And they reported that back. But as you know, sometimes there is therefore a conclusion. 10 of the spies came up with the conclusion. We cannot take the land. They are too powerful for us. The cities are too strong. These people, these are giants. They're going to stomp on us. We're like grasshoppers. Guess what? That started to filter through the rest of the people. And they started wailing and moaning again. Complaining. Oh, we should have stayed in Egypt. Just the recurring record keeps going. We should have stayed in Egypt. It would have been better for us to die in Egypt or die in the wilderness rather than going here and dying there. I mean, they're going to attack us. They're going to kill us. They're going to take all our women and kids off as plunder. And oh, this is shocking. This is terrible. You know, when these 10 spies said, we can't take the land, it spread. It spread through the people. Dangerous thing to do. Let's go back to Egypt. Do you know what they said? Let's get another leader. We don't like where you're leading, Moses. We're going to get another leader. Part of me was thinking, go for it. Let's get another leader. Far out, I'm thinking, oh no, they've forgotten God again. I mean, God had brought them through the Red Sea. He delivered them out of Egypt. All the miracles he had done. All their provision, they'd forgot of who he was, what he's capable of, what he'd done in the past. Oh, what do you do in this situation? But two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, two of them said exactly the same things in terms of what they saw, but their conclusion was totally different. They said, because God is with us, we can take the land. You know, all of us need to keep that in mind. Because God is with you, you can take it. You can do it. Because God is with us, we can take the land. They saw the same stuff, but they knew God. They remembered God. They trusted God. Because God is with us, we can take the land. God will lead us in. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in the land. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Oh, I was so thankful for Caleb and Joshua. Guess what the people did? Did they clap and cheer and say, good? No, they picked up rocks. They wanted to stone these two because they went against what they wanted to do. Went against it. They wanted to stone them. Why won't they trust God after all he's done for them? So then, surprise, surprise, God says to me, I'm sick of these guys' contempt. I'm sick of these people. Can you imagine God saying that to me? Sick of these people. Then he says, actually, Moses, what I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy the lot of them. And I'm going to start a new nation through you. And he go, and I'm going, no, don't do that. I'm going to start a new nation through you, Moses. Bad idea. So it sounds pretty weird, but I then had to start pleading before God for the people. I would have been happy for them to get going, but I pleaded before God. I interceded for them. And I said to God, look, don't destroy them. If you destroy them, then the Egyptians are going to say, this God got these people out of Egypt and took them into the wilderness, but they wouldn't do what he wanted, so he got rid of them. What a sick joke. I said, they're going to make a mockery of you. And then I had to remind God again that you are slow to anger, God. Remember that? And your loving kindness is huge in abundance. And you forgive sin and rebellion. I had to remind God of what he's like and who he is and what he does. How weird is that? Me pleading with God, not only he's pleading with me. I guess for all of us, no matter what situation we're in, wherever we are on this wilderness journey of life, several things we need to pick up on here. Keep pleading with God. Keep interceding with God that he would show mercy and grace on the people in your life, your world, who have rebelled against him, who have drifted, who are not in a place where they believe him. Don't give up pleading and interceding for them. God listens to the intercession of people. Don't give up. Keep pleading. Keep interceding for those in your world, your family, your friends, who are not following God or who are rebelling. Keep doing it. And get others involved as well. Get others involved in it. You've got no idea what God's going to do tomorrow. Can I encourage you also, have a spirit like Joshua and Caleb. We can take this land because God is with us. Step in faith, grow in faith. Don't rebel against God. It's just not worth it. It's going to cost you. Always it will cost you. You know, the reality is, in tough times that we all go through, if you choose to turn away from God in heaven's name, who are you going to turn to? What's the other options? What are the other options? None that I can see that are worthwhile. Don't turn away from God in the times that are tough. Always turn towards him, knowing that he's turning towards you all the time. Dumb to rebel. Yes, for those of you who follow God here this morning, forgiveness is always very real. Keep realigning with what God's on about. But the consequences are real as well. The consequences of rebellion and drifting are very real. Certainly very real for these people that I was dealing with. Certainly cost them. Cost them a lot. Right then and there, God said, okay, because of your rebellion, stubbornness, your unwillingness to trust me, all of those who are over 20, you're not going into the land. You're going to wander around this wilderness for another 40 years until you die off. If you're over 20, you're not going into the land, except Joshua and Caleb, because they're of a different spirit. You're going to taste the consequences of your grumbling. You're going to taste the consequences of your rebellion. It's a bitter pill for them. You know, God surprised me again. Right then and there, the 10 spies that had stirred up the rebellion just died right there. Got the plague and died right in front of us. So what do you think the people did then? They started wailing again. They knew they were in trouble. They said, okay, no, sorry. We will obey. We will go into the land. We'll put this right. God says, too late. Too late. Too late. 40 years of wandering began. their lack of trust, their disobedience to God had created a 40-year detour. We could have gone into the land. We could have gone in. We're at Kadesh Barnea, and you can see on the map there where we've come. And that bit of a circle is the 40 years of wandering as we head up towards the eastern side of the Jordan. 40 years. You know, if you're in rebellion to God, or if you're actually noticing this morning that you've drifted, can I encourage you to realign? Realign. It mightn't cost you your life today, but it will always cost you if you rebel against the Lord God Almighty. I just want to encourage you. Go for broke with God. Go for broke. Because God is with us. We can deal with life. Because God is with us, we can overflow to those people in our world who need God. You know, we all blow it, don't we? We all muck it up. I mucked it up. I made a fatal choice one day. Aaron and I, we did something which cost us. Once again, the people were grumbling. No water, no water. I say to God, we need water. And he said, okay, there's a rock here. Speak to the rock and the water will flow out. But I was pretty low in resources at this point. I was feeling a bit weary. And I said to the people, you mob of rebels, sick to death of you. And I just hit that rock with the staff of God. The water poured out. But God says, I didn't ask you to hit the rock. I asked you to speak to the rock. I guess my frustration's just boiled over. But it cost Aaron and myself big time. Because right there, God said, Moses, because you disobeyed me, I mean once, because you disobeyed me, you're not going into the land. You're not leading the people in. Someone else is going to do that. Won't be you. You're not going to go in. You'll see it, but you won't go in. Whew. Just brought me up with a start, you know. Be alert to the fatal choices you may be making, or have made, or will make. Particularly when you're low in resources. Particularly when you're running out of gas. Particularly when you're in a tense situation. Be aware when you're emotionally wrung out that sometimes we can make decisions which are not going to have a good impact. And it will cost us. And so God told me to pass the baton of leadership onto Joshua. One of these two spies that went in, Joshua and Caleb. He said Joshua's going to be the one who will lead the people in to the land and will look at the conquering of the land. Not you, Moses. So before all the people, I got Moses there, I got Joshua there, and I passed on the baton of leadership to him so that they all knew, everyone knew, Joshua is the leader. He's the leader into the land. And then we wandered for 40 years. Different things happened in that time. Lots happened. But then finally, all those who were over 20 had died. They'd all died. Aaron had died. Miriam had died. And the people were now ready to go in to the land. And so we're there. What do you do in a situation like that? When you know that you've brought them so far, but you're not going in. What do you do? Well, I gave them my valedictory speech. I shared with them what I felt was going to be helpful to them, even though deep down I knew that they probably wouldn't hear it. I knew deep down they'd probably muck it up again and again and again. But I thought, I've got a chance here, one more chance to speak life into them. And so this is what I said. And I actually wrote it down so you can read it as well. I wanted to emphasize how important, how essential it was to keep following God. to keep making good choices, to keep trusting Him, to keep remembering that He's for you, not against you. This is part of what I said to them. You can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land. You are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life. Choose life. So that you and your children may live. And that you may love the Lord your God and listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life. And He will give you many years in the land that He swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Life, death, blessings, curses. Choose life. Choose life. I hammered it into them. Choose life. And then tribe by tribe, 12 tribes, I pronounced a blessing individually on each of the tribes. Always important, even though you might be feeling like beating them up, it's always important to pronounce blessing. Blessing on the 12 tribes. 12 tribes, one by one. I really wanted to emphasize again before I died that they and you have a fresh opportunity to trust and to obey God and to reassure them that they're not alone, that God is with them. The Lord God Almighty is with them and He's for them. Stay with Him. Stay with Him. After this, I went to the top of Mount Nebo, just on the east side of the Jordan River, looking across where Jericho is. And in the distance, I got to see the promised land. And then I died. I just encourage you to close your eyes for a minute and reflect on what God is saying to you right now. Now, no matter what your age, no matter what your past, today God is saying to you, choose life. Moses is dead. Choose life. Choose to speak words of blessing on people. Choose to speak words of life. Bless people with words and actions. Choose to follow and trust Jesus. Jesus is your life. Encourage others to do the same. I'm going to read out a declaration in a moment. And this declaration may be an aspect of your response to God. As I read this out, you may want to read it out with me. They are words, but words spoken as a declaration are powerful. But obviously actions then follow words. It may be very significant for you to say this today, but no pressure. So if you wish, speak this alongside of me as I do. Today, I declare that I will choose life. I believe that our God is good. I acknowledge that our God is a God of love, grace, mercy, and power. I will love the Lord my God and walk in obedience to Him. I choose to receive the blessings of God with thankfulness and pass them on to others. When I fall, I will acknowledge my sin, accept God's forgiveness, and continue to trust in God and His leadership. I choose to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. If this morning you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never followed God, I encourage you to believe and realize again that Jesus Christ can be your life. In the book of John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to actually look at what does that mean for you and to explore it. And today is a great day to say, I want to follow Jesus. Father, I thank you again for the example we see in Moses, the example we see, good and bad, in the people. And Father, I pray that today will be a significant day of declaration for us, of going again, of realigning with you, and following in ways that you want us to go. Father, I pray that each one of us would more and more experience you, the one who is for us. Father, again, we thank you for all of this. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen.